Joining us now, Shadi Hamid, Director of Research at the Brookings Doha Center. Shadi, it's great to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me.
You know, there's so much in play right now. The death of Osama bin Laden and all of the pro-democracy stories we've been talking about really for months now. Are these two phenomena related, the apparent sort of decline of jihadist movements like al-Qaeda, and you can dispute if there actually is a decline, and these democracy movements which are rising up, from North Africa straight through to South Asia?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think it's important to understand that al-Qaeda and bin Laden have become increasingly marginal in the Arab world the last couple years. They reached their high water mark of popularity maybe 2003, 2004. But al-Qaeda has become somewhat irrelevant because people don't see violence as being necessary for change anymore. And I think the Arab Spring has proven that the protests we've seen throughout the region have been peaceful and people aren't calling for an Islamic State or attacks on America. So we're not seeing any of al-Qaeda's discourse during these protests. So I think there's definitely two things going on here. We're seeing the fall of al-Qaeda, but we're also seeing the fall of the authoritarian status quo in the Arab world. So what we're seeing really then is a region that is changing and hopefully changing for the better.
So Shadi Hamid, tell me if this is an oversimplification. The sort of downfall of colonialism in the Middle East produced a lot of the very nationalistic autocratic leaders who were replaced in some cases or confronted in other places by Islamist jihadist movements. Is the successor to the jihadist leadership in this part of the world an authentic democratic movement?
Well, I think that's what we're seeing. Jihadists are still going to play a role. They're not going to disappear, but I think it's a small role. There's a real risk, though, that if these protest movements fail and we're seeing unprecedented violence against peaceful protesters in places like Libya, Bahrain, and Syria. So I think one thing we have to be worried about is if Arabs lose faith in the potential for peaceful change, they might resort to violence and possibly even terrorism. So that's something we're going to have to watch out for. And what we know about al-Qaeda is they're going to try to take advantage of any regional instability. So if there's an opening for them, they're going to try to take it.
Well, we're speaking with Shadi Hamid, Director of Research at the Brookings Doha Center. And Shadi, many people have said that al-Qaeda after 9/11 lost a lot of its operational capabilities, but they didn't necessarily lose their ideological capabilities. If bin Laden was significant for anything, it was for propaganda. To that extent, they did lose something significant, right?
Yeah, I think al-Qaeda really morphed from an organization into an idea, because al-Qaeda Central lost a lot of its control over the regional affiliates in places like North Africa, Yemen, and Iraq. So al-Qaeda was really serving as an inspiration for other movements in the region and for individual terrorists. But I think what's important here is that idea has lost a lot of its attractiveness. And if that's what makes al-Qaeda relevant or powerful, then that's a very good sign that the ideas that underlie what al-Qaeda stands for just simply aren't that popular anymore.
What are the socioeconomic dynamics that are driving jihadist recruitment? For instance, the aimless middle class that's huge inside Saudi Arabia with no real purpose but lots of economic wherewithal, and the poverty classes in places like Yemen, and the sectarian issues of being a Shiite minority ruled in Bahrain. How are those changing?
Well, al-Qaeda benefits from people being angry about their situation, and there's a lot of anger to go around in the region today. As you point out, there's high levels of unemployment, underemployment, poverty, sectarianism. So the Middle East still has a whole bunch of problems, and I don't think that's going to change overnight. If anything, it might get worse in some of these countries. And not only that, the economic grievances are tied with political issues as well. What are people angry about? They're also angry that these regimes are repressive and that they're angry at the U.S. for supporting those regimes in places like Yemen and Bahrain. So you put all that together and you really have an explosive situation. But what's been so impressive about what we've seen in the region the last couple months is none of that has really led to violence on the part of the opposition. We've seen very few examples of that. And that's really, you know, that's something that people should look into, and I think we'll be studying that in the years to come, that you had all this potential for violence, but what we saw was a largely peaceful protest movement spreading throughout the Arab world.
So is the takeaway here that the democracy movements, insofar as we've seen, and it's early yet, are a better channel for that broad anger, which hasn't changed in the Middle East, than violent movements and jihadist movements?
Oh, certainly. I mean, this is a very big big improvement. That said, I mean, we shouldn't also be under the impression that the jihadist movements ever had a lot of support. They've always been a small, tiny fringe of the Arab world, but they had a disproportionate influence because their message was getting out to a larger audience, and people in their despair were considering those violent options. What we're seeing, though, now is a fringe movement has become even more fringe, and as long as the Arab Spring continues to have forward momentum, we'll continue seeing that. But again, the Arab Spring has some negative sides as well, with growing repression in a number of countries.
Sure. Shadi Hamid, thanks so much. Director of Research at the Brookings Doha Center. He joined us from Doha in Qatar. Thanks, Shadi.
Thanks.
We have a lot more for you at our website. You can see photos of the gatherings that happened in New York and response to the news of Osama bin Laden's death. You can watch videos, photo galleries, and join the conversation yourself. Head over to thetakeaway.org. And we have a specific question about the response to bin Laden's death. Crowds took to the streets to celebrate that, and we're wondering if you think it's appropriate. Anne writes to us, I'm ashamed to be an American today. This barbaric, inhumane, minimalistic behavior ill becomes any people who consider themselves cultured. Now you want him dead without a trial? For shame. We want to hear your reaction. Call 8778-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.